I got to bring this up. And I know I'm an old guy, and I got an old guy with me today in the 60 Club, too. Dave Hyde from the Sun Sentinel in with us today. And All Day Dan Day, a much younger and cooler cat than we are. You guys got to help me out with this. So now a lot of the guys are dating influencers, and I get TikTok people that have a lot of followers as well. And that's the new thing. And I get it. By the way, the more followers you get, the more money you make. Braxton Berrios' girl is a great example. Beautiful and is making a lot of money. See, she's all over. I follow her from time to time. I love her personality here, which has pictures too, a little bit.
Now you're sounding like a real old man. You cannot say that right, can you?
What?
I like her pictures.
Well, I like the pictures she puts out. Well, you think everybody just, wants to see the product she's talking about?
Yeah, right, yeah.
This is the latest bathing suit that... So, I don't know how these guys... It'd be hard to date somebody like that. They're beautiful, don't get me wrong, but that's... I have great respect for Braxton to be able... And Braxton's been, the last couple girlfriends have kind of been in that business, and... good for him, man. That's
What do you think, Dan? I think it'd be a lot easier to date someone like that when you realize it's a business and what she's bringing in, when she's bringing in big money.
No, you right? get it. By you the know? Way, she's not doing. Yeah, no. She's about bringing in, and she's figured it out. And again, she's beautiful. Like all these women are really pretty.
But it would take a certain level of mental. Male maturity to know that
can be insecure. You know,
you can't be insecure.
Most men are a little insecure, so if you got a little bit of that, you know.
Braxton's pretty successful.
No, Braxton's fine. He's a good-looking dude. He's fine. Braxton's fine. I was just talking in general while we're talking about Zach Wilson now.
Is his wife an influencer, too?
Oh, yeah. TikTok.
Is she?
Is that right?
TikTok star, yes.
There you go.
Just don't read the comments, you know. Just
don't read the comments. That's like with my columns. I don't read the comments.
Yeah, don't.
So,
do it.
Similar idea, probably in a much harsher light with some of these comments.
So where do you get the most comments of that are negative towards you? Whoa. Give me a couple of things that you've done.
Usually my house. That's what I get.
Streets.
What do I write about that have gotten me comments?
Yes.
Negative.
You do a very good job.
Well, when I rip the Dolphins, there's always and I love the Dolphin fan base for this. I really do. There is a big segment of Dolphin, or they're optimistic about everything.
Yes.
Everything the management does is still great. Everything that a player does, is still great. And the fact after, as you mentioned earlier, 25 years without a playoff win, there's still this huge segment of the base that is very optimistic every year.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. So, but that would be one of the areas I think of right away that I get ripped for.
No, I think that's a going one for everybody. I would agree that there are super positive Dolphin fans. I heard one and it was actually good. I should have written it down who it was from, because I like to see the stuff. When I read stuff or the writers in the comments below, and I heard one that really, I kind of stopped on the whole topic, he's right. Like, hey, we didn't get much from our veteran cornerbacks last year. What the hell do we have to lose? Let's put our young guys out there, develop them, and play them. If that's the case, put them out there. I don't want to hear they just play in preseason and we let them play. And I went, we're going to see a lot of that this year.
What
I just told you during break, we're going to see a lot of young guys. Now, by the way, I'm not just talking about the rookie class. Guys that have not played a lot of football in their first 2 years are going to – Cam Smith's a great example – is going to get every chance to start there is.
Yeah, I would feel a lot better of that statement, play the young guys, if they had drafted a couple young running backs – cornerbacks, excuse me. Because these other guys haven't been on the field for a reason – that the coaches haven't seen enough from them to think that they should be on the field.
Ethan Bonner.
And we've seen two defensive coordinators come through here and two defensive backfield coaches come through here. So it isn't like they got on the bad side of one person. So again, if you want to play the young guys, that's great. But I would feel a lot better about that statement if they had drafted some young cornerbacks this year, and they didn't.
You know, I told you when you came in, I said, hey, they're going to play a lot of young guys this year, and a lot of our season still going to be about – I agree, and I'm trying to think who always hits this. Your best players have to be their best, and that's in every sport.
That's a given.
Yeah. That doesn't need to be said. Like, we need Tyreek to be Tyreek, and – we need Tua to be able to play 17 games and see how he does. He put up – last time he played 17, he's pretty damn good overall.
The Dolphins need the bottom third or bottom half of the roster to play well. And that's – they haven't had much depth or enough depth in the last several years.
So look what they're going to have. They're going to have a second-year left tackle, young. You go over and you look at the defensive side of the ball. There are going to be two rookies – on that defensive line are going to play a lot. Those top two guys are going to play a lot. The secondary is full of young guys, including safeties we got from other teams. They're all young players that haven't really played a lot, except Ashton Davis been around a little bit longer. Outside of that, but you go around on this team and you start looking at the young guys that they're going to play. They're going to start a rookie guard. He's starting.
He should. I mean, this is a normal NFL.
Well, we haven't been doing this.
I know. It's new for the Dolphins, but it's normal across the NFL. That
yes.
Second-round pick, yeah, they start.
Yes.
They start everywhere. And I mean, the Eagles started two defensive backs last year on the Super Bowl-winning team.
Corner
rookies.
Safety.
Rookies.
Yes.
Rookies. So, again, I playing young guys isn't the concern. To me, the concern is – in this defensive backfield, you've had these young cornerbacks with you for at least 2 years, most of them.
Right.
And they haven't done anything to impress you to get it. When you needed to put players on the field, they're not going on the field. And so have they taken a step forward, or is it just you didn't go out and fill the cornerback position at all this offseason?
Well, we have noticed, and this is a pattern. Storm Duck did get to play.
And showed some good signs.
He did. He had his ups and he had some rough time, but he got to play a lot.
He's undrafted. So the fact he played is a positive.
So the big thing is we've got to learn in camp. Oh, he's having a great camp. Ethan Bonner. Oh, he's having a great camp. Oh, Cam Smith's showing signs and stuff. And then to your point, season starts and guys get injured and they don't play. They're going to a guy that's a special teams guy that plays defensive back because he's got experience or he's doing whatever he's supposed to do. They're doing it, and they still don't trust. But I think they're in a situation where it's a guy they drafted, but they're going to have to play some young guys. There is not going to be in that opener. Now, they're probably going to get a veteran corner, so throw that out. But outside of that, and Kader Kohou, there are going to be a lot of young guys. They're going to have to play nickel corner, right? Nickel corner is going to be a young guy. The third or fourth guys are going to be young guys on this team. And it's kind of open. It's a great situation whether you were drafted or you're getting your second or third chance like Cam Smith.
And it's one thing to say for game one, okay, here's the plan. But game 8 or 9 or 10 when you have a couple injuries – now what's the plan?
I am worried about the depth of the team.
Yeah,
I heard somebody say offensive line depth. Yeah, I'm worried about that too. For people that if you're looking at the whole thing, but I am worried that your front line guys are fine if they stay healthy. But you also know we're gonna have 12, 13, 14 guys on IR because that's what's on IR. Not necessarily for the year, but for four games at least, and so you're gonna miss some guys. I would love to sit here and tell you right now that I knew for a fact that Bradley Chubb, Chop Robinson, and Jalen Phillips were all going to stay healthy for 17 games. That would be fun to see. Three first-round picks, two were yours and one was Denver's, that if those guys could all stay healthy, potentially, that would help the secondary in a big way. Was Zach Sealer in the middle there? Oh, my God, it'd be great.
That's why Bill Belichick, back when he was Bill Belichick of the Patriots, would say, championships are won in the bottom third of the roster, meaning everybody has great stars. Okay, you're going to have your great stars. They got to play well. But you got to have that depth to fill in when you get guys hurt. And the championship teams do have have that good enough. And we're not talking great play, serviceable, average players to be able to step in and do that.
I like the running backs. I don't have a problem with the running back. Matter of fact, we got some big running backs. The guys are bigger. I think Achan has played great since he's been here. I know his numbers were down a little bit, but they didn't run the ball as well. So I'm not. And I think the linebacker position in the middle is really deep. Now, I like on paper our pass rushers. But again, Bradley Chubb didn't play at all last year. And Jalen Ramsey played four games. Phillips played four games. So, and then the secondary, those guys, whether they're young, doesn't matter. They got to communicate, and you can't make mental mistakes back there. You can make a mental mistake up front. You cannot get caught. If you're supposed to do something and you decide not to do it because something looks different to you and you end up making a mental mistake, there's going to be big Swiss cheese holes in that defense, and they're going to have problems.
That's where they were counting on Jalen Ramsey to be. You put him there, then you have a veteran cornerback, but he's got to me. The pressure really is on Anthony Weaver, and I don't know how.
He's not making any excuses. He said, "Let's play him."
He had I thought the defense performed much better than I expected last year with his system and the way
coach.
I thought he did. They finished 10th and they didn't have 10th. In the league talent. And so something came together with his system and the way he coached, and it's almost like he's going to have to even be better this year because of the questions.
You're right, because people say, that defense, and I go, you're right. They didn't have a lot of sacks. Dropped way off the sack number from the year before, way off. And again, a lot of the reason to two guys on the outside were both injured. And the other one is they didn't have takeaways as far as interceptions.
Right.
You can't have four interceptions in your whole secondary. Two by Cater and two by I mentioned this earlier to you. Not one safety or nobody else. All the other guys have played in that secondary. Nothing. The linebackers had more interceptions than the friggin' guys in the secondary.
So do you go into this season expecting more takeaways when you're crossing your fingers at who's going to play cornerback?
Well, I'll tell you what. You get more pressure, you'll have more.
Well, yeah, right.
Guy throws it earlier. There will be more balls going down the middle of the field where safeties are standing back there for easy interceptions if you get the pressure.
And if those guys are healthy, if Chop Robinson takes a step forward a second year.
You realize the year before, I think we set a record for sacks a year before. And then last year, I think we had like 20 less, some crazy amount less. Anyway, we got to go to break here. We've got a lot more stuff to get to here as we continue. All day, Dan Day in the back. Dave, hi. We got him up early this morning. We even had the police officers out in front for him. He thought he was coming into
a
hell of a party.
I thought they gave you protective service here early
somebody
in the morning.
So you want to hear how it started? I get a call in here at 5 o'clock this morning from somebody in the front office here at the station. I called the front office in management. Said, hey, did you go through the middle door today, and which is closed on Monday. That's where the restaurants are. And I go, no. How would I get in there? There's no way to get in there. I go, I got to go the way that we all come up. And I go, something went off and somebody's down there. And I told him, you were the first one in the morning. You would know if somebody was there. So that's how it started. So the police came out here today. So you got to see. You thought they were doing something special
for
you.
They had the building surrounded.
Yeah.
And you're the first one here in the mornings, huh?
Me or Ashley. Ashley gets here early, too. From Shark. She's a shark.
It's a competition.
Do race.
Who gets here first? Who's the hardest worker?
She is. She gets in here early. And with Dave Hyde and All Day Dan Day. He came in early. All Day Dan Day. Never have to worry about him. Right out of the car today. There I was.
I listened to Dan. Dan at night, night at day, day at night.
That's why they call him All Day Dan Day, because that man works all day.
He was talking about music, buying music tickets, to a concert.
He likes concerts.
I forget. It was an indie group, right?
Yeah, indie group Saint Motel here at Zay Zay, right, a couple blocks away. But yeah, but I can vouch for Joe this morning. He didn't break in. I walked in with him.
We went through the right door.
Correct.
We were good. Isn't it crazy? You and I were just talking about the old days when the schools were trying to keep agents away and people were getting money under the table. And I always think of Mario going, well, one thing about it, at least everybody can be mad about the new system, but I guess the fact that everybody was getting money under the table and the dirty little secret, so I like it this way better. If we're going to pay, let's all pay.
Where does recruiting come into, like, the personality and coaches? Of course, if you're a player and you're getting five teams offering you the same amount of money, which is usually the case, right? If you're a top recruit. So it's still the program and the coach all comes into it as long as they hit the bar of money, I would assume.
So I'm glad you brought that up because I'm sick of listening to Big Ten and SEC complain. I really am. So they've been complaining. There's been more shots down here at Mario, who's I don't know if you've been following this recruiting. I've gotten used to it. He's kicking ass.
Every couple days, it seems like
he's getting another big
somebody guy,
and I don't mean just here in South Florida. He's getting them in California. He's getting them all over the place. And every time he's beating out the big guys when he gets it. So now the cop out answer is always, well, they offer more money. It's always, well, they gave, well, how much more did they give you that you decide to go to Miami? He goes, no, Miami's got a lot of things to offer. And I just, you know, he could go after coaches, but he doesn't for the most part. The guys that take the jabs and the schools that, because they've had their way. And they've done it, a lot of them, the dirty way through the years, and nobody said a word about it because most teams, when guys were giving guys money under the table, we had athletes down here getting money under the table, nobody said a word. It was just like, okay, I get it, and it moves on. But I really get tired of listening to Big Ten and this Wisconsin lawsuit about losing this guy who wanted to come back home. He's an American Heritage Plantation guy. He was the number one defensive back in the transfer portal, and he's coming back. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with this lawsuit and all that stuff, but if you don't think the Big Ten, listen, Urban Meyer was part of the Big Ten. Do I need to tell you any more about going after guys who they absolutely are signed, sealed, and delivered? He was not letting up.
I think he brought that to the Big Ten in a big way.
He
talking
did.
To the people there.
That was
where,
it. Yeah. That was his thing. And Wisconsin was one of the first teams to go, hey, well, you got four or five guys we really like, and until it's National Signing Day, this is the way I did business in SEC, and I'm doing it in the Big Ten. And they're not apologizing for anything. And by the way, that commissioner, he doesn't give a shit about anybody else, but excuse me, he doesn't care at all about any conference but his. He's not looking out for the best. I don't care. AD from UM can come on every day and tell me, Darren, he cares about his conference, maybe the Big Ten a little bit because he might need some more schools, but they don't care about the other conferences.
I thought it was a given that the SEC and the Big Ten had more money than everybody else, and now some other teams. Miami's changed how they do business in the past, well, since Mario, that's part of why Mario came here.
Mario wasn't going to come on the old system, and
the fact they were paying him over $8 million a year was part of the new regime, that they suddenly had money and they were spending it, and so Miami now is up with the SEC and the Big Ten as far as spending money. Ohio State, supposedly their payroll last year was $20 million for football.
Well, Dave, I'll give you one better than that. So now they just got somewhere. It's 20.5 million schools can pay to their athletic program. 20.5 million.
To the whole program.
Whole program.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dave, how's
that
going to work?
That's not good.
Well, there's going to be outside. Yeah, money can come in from deals from the outside. Yeah. But the school can actually give that amount of money. But no, hell, at least double, if not more, for everything else. Basketball programs, the SEC basketball programs, the Big Ten basketball programs. What do you think their budget is? $500,000?
How do you think Duke got two freshmen who were drafted in the top four?
By the way, how much did he make last year?
And
speaking of the ACC,
how did they not win? five
guys.
How did they not win that championship game?
I don't know.
Well, they're young. That's that'd be the quick answer.
They should have won it all. Yeah. No matter how we look at it, they should have won
it all. But to the point that all these schools, if you're a top recruit now, you're having several schools, obviously, who meet whatever money requirement you have. And maybe one's a little more, one's a little. But I think of Cam Ward when he came here, because I went in thinking, oh, money was a deciding factor. And I was talking to him at the start of last year at Media Day for UM. And he said, no, it wasn't money, because I was going to get the money from any of the schools I went to. It was, for me, it was Miami. It was two things. One is how many guys were coming back, because I wanted to step into an offense where I could – and then the coaches that I get, that I could have some belief in what they were doing. Because I had to hit the ground running, ground winning, you know.
He had a great offensive line.
Yeah.
Well, that was a damn good UM offensive line, and he had skilled players on the outside. Matter of fact, the skilled players on the outside – were better than I thought they were going to be. Restrepo, I knew, was really good. But a tight end going to second round?
Arroyo, yeah. Who would have thought?
George on the outside also had a – no, they had a bunch of receivers spread out across, and that was the number one offense in the country last year. That offense ended up number one. So anyway, but getting back to this whole thing about, like, everybody's, I don't know what they think, but like Miami's, there's probably, if you're asked what Miami's spending compared to, we've been right in the middle of the pack. What do you think, Texas and Texas A&M? I don't know. I always think of them first. I don't know what you think, but those two.
I don't think Miami's taken Texas, Ohio State, Michigan, but Miami's not that far behind them, I don't think.
No, they're paying money.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think they're middle of the pack.
It's paid a quarterback $4 million.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a little pressure on him now. Woody goes, well, we're going to be, because coaches said, well, we're going to be better defensively. We think we're have a really good running game. We're excited, but listen, and I agree, but Carson's going to have to make some throws. When you play Florida and all those big schools.
Well, look what Cam Ward did. He's expected. And it tells you how the market has changed just in a year. Cam Ward made $1.5 million. Everybody in college football knew he was a great quarterback. I mean, I didn't. I'm not in that.
I didn't know he was going to be that good.
In that, I remember talking to Dennis Erickson, former UM coach, last summer.
He told you.
And he told me. He goes, have you seen this? I said, well, hey, you live. Talking about something else.
Yeah.
And I said, he goes, by the way, have you seen this? And I didn't even know his name. Cam Ward coming down there. I go, yeah, I've heard about him. He goes, he's special. He's great. I go, he is? He goes, he's unbelievable. And everybody out here knows it. Everybody. And so inside the college, so he got $1.5 million. Now the UM quarterback's getting $4 million. That tells you how the market has changed on some level inside the game, right?
Yeah. No, it's Oklahoma just paid between $4 and $5 million for the Washington State quarterback everybody wanted to. Another one came in after Cam that was really good. At some point, UM has got to develop a guy and have their own home cooking. This going out, it's expensive to do business if you keep getting these one and dones. It's expensive to do it that way.
But it'd be expensive to develop your own too. You'd have to keep paying them.
But you'd get them in that way.
At some point, I think for your program and consistency, you want to develop somebody, right?
Yes. Yeah, you'd like to see one of these guys that you recruit. By the way, at some point, you got to have why do they come? When I have a guy you can recruit that said, "Hey, I know I'm going to play. Beck's leaving. I'm going to be the next guy up. Cam's leaving. I'm going to be the next guy up. I've shown coach enough." Man, time flies in the morning, Dave. I got you in here between the therapy we do back and forth.
We do a lot of therapy.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
I should just hand over whatever I make here to you as a doctor.
Don't do that.
Well, it wouldn't
be much. I'm done. So recently they say, hey, you may have a little anxiety. You know, if you're not sleeping well at night, you got a lot of stuff on. I said, listen, man, I'm not going to any more counselors. I'm done. I'm not going to any more counseling. I'm not going to marriage counseling anymore. I'm not going into kids counseling or Joe Rose counseling. The stuff you look in the mirror about, I'm done. No more.
You got a lot of time left in your life, Joe. Don't say never. Don't say never.
No, I've had people offer. I love, you know, when people, I think I'm fine. I don't need anything. I need a good night's sleep. I'll plan on getting it tonight.
You talk for 4 hours in the morning, though. That's you get a lot off your chest that way, right? And don't you feel a little relieved walking out of here?
I can't tell you on the air, but some great, when I'm with my guys drinking, counseling stories, when we're all out together and I'm entertaining, some great stuff. I've been to counseling for different things, and it's pretty funny stories. I'll have to tell you someday. I can't tell you right now. Because it would be potentially just in the family.
You would need counseling if you told these counseling stories, it wouldn't be good.
But I'm not against counseling. I think it's great. People get it. I got people getting therapy and stuff, man. If you need it, do it. All day's in there shaking his head. I'm just done. I appreciate your help. Thank you. I'm going to pass.
No, I agree. My last therapist quit me. He told me, look, I got other things I need to take care of. And I was like, all right, I'm done. You know,
that sounds like a sitcom thing. You get fired by your therapist.
Stop paying me. I don't want to take this pain anymore. I said, okay, I'm out.
But again, I'm not saying it doesn't work. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that at all, but. Just done. No more.
There's something therapeutic when you let something off your chest, though. You know the value of a therapist.
So it's, I take the punches to the gut on it, though, is what I'm saying. It's the other people that are
giving them to you. You're accepting. You're getting delivered on.
And I just look at the guy and I go, hey, I never said I was an angel. I understand. I understand. That's true. I'm not proud of it. And you kind of just keep.
Isn't the time run out on some of that, though?
There should be a time where your brain blocks it out and people can't bring.
Did you forget that happened?
People can't bring that stuff up.
Yeah. But it hasn't happened yet.
Sometimes I think it has, and then sometimes you'll just have people, even in California, have somebody go, oh, really? Damn, bro. And then you go, wait a sec, that was 40-something years ago.
You went home.
You didn't run out on that one yet?
You went home and you see high school or that age people bringing stuff up that you forgot about, right? That happens whenever I go home. And I don't go home to where I grew up very often anymore. But it's like, wow.
Well, that's a good one, too. Once your parents are gone, I've got my father still there. He's not leaving. But you're right. You see people, you'll be out, and they'll bring up something, and you're like, really? Wow. You know, something from a zillion years ago.
You haven't thought about it.
No,
at all,
and you'll go, right? I didn't remember. You got me. I don't even remember that. But anyway, hey, we've got a lot of stuff going on here with free agency and seeing. So you're telling me, because I'm not going to see you, Dave, you feel good about Marshawn and Ekblad.
I felt a lot better about the Panthers signing them on Saturday morning after I got off the conference call with Sam Bennett, because I thought...
Well, free agency starts tomorrow.
No, I know,
but
I thought they were
going to
lock them all up.
Well, that was liquor. Some of that was liquor at the parade. The parade liquor talk cannot be like when you hear it and you're getting all lathered up and you got 200,000 fans going, yes, he's back, they're coming back, yes!
I thought they were going to announce Bennett one day, Marshawn the next, Ekblad. You know, it'd be like the 12 days of Christmas, 3 days of free agency. And the other two haven't fallen
yet. I'm guessing
yet.
As soon as those guys woke up with that little hangover, the agent got a hold of them right away and said, hey, can you slow down here?
Well, Bennett did say, Bennett was asked about that, and he did say, yeah, my agent told me that wasn't the smartest thing to say.
Yeah.
Like, he probably didn't need to be told that, but.
I keep thinking the Heat are I know what they have. I keep thinking there's a move coming. There's something. He's not just going to sit.
Well, there will be
a
move, but it's not going to be the whale move.
But it can't be the seventh or eighth guy coming off the bench.
No, I mean, if they trade Wiggins, they'll get a starter. They'll get somebody, right? But the question to me is. Because Riley saw the big three move coming a year and a half, 2 years in advance. What is on their radar? Giannis, everybody's looking at Giannis. So, and in fact, the word in the NBA is teams like the Knicks didn't make any move for Durant because they and a couple other teams held on to all their chips because if Giannis comes on the board, they want to be able to move on him.
I'm not taking a shot at Pat Riley, but this big three thing through the years has gotten a little turned around. There's no big three if we don't have Dwayne Wade, period.
Right.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes Pat, listen, I understand Pat signed off on it, but sure, it's nice when you got three guys from the same draft class and all want to play together.
It works both ways.
And if you remember, LeBron tried to get everybody to go to Cleveland, and Dwayne and Chris said no. And Chris goes, hey, I'm coming. He was second, right? If I'm not mistaken, LeBron was the last one.
Yeah, LeBron
came
third.
From Toronto and said, I'm in. Chris Bosh said, I'm in from Toronto. And then we got LeBron.
It works both ways. There was the big three wouldn't happen if Wade wasn't
Pat.
Here. But LeBron and Bosh weren't coming here if Pat Riley hadn't set up this whole Heat system and everything in place, too. You're giving Riley credit
for everything today. You were.
Absolutely.
Okay.
How could you not? You know, Joe.
Just in case he's in the car, he hasn't been very nice to me. So if you want to jab him a little bit, I'm getting no value out of it.
I'm getting no value. He didn't call me, but I've been down the elevator with so many bad franchises. How many Dolphins regime the elevator's going down and I'm stuck in it with them? When for 20 years the Heat were the gold standard here, right? The past 20 years they've been
nobody,
the gold standard.
It was
of
one of the
how
best
to run a franchise.
One of the best franchises. In any professional sport.
Yeah.
They were that good, yes. Yeah. And not only that, but drama-free. If you were looking to do radio shows on the Heat outside of their basketball, that was it. They gave you nothing. Even when a guy got drunk, it was they put the fire out. Or a guy leaves mad. It was like
Pat Riley has two rules, he once told me. Two rules.
What are they?
No complaining, no gossiping. I like that. And you talk about, you know, look, there's a lot more that obviously.
So you know what's funny? I had a boss, Don Brown, at NBC, and somebody complained about me. A weather guy, Roland Stedham, had complained about me. I still remember who it was. I don't mind saying his name. He complained that I had threatened him because he was sucking up my time before I got to sports. And I said, hey, man, you need to stick to your friggin' time. I watched that little producer and director in the front there tell you to wrap it up, and you kept going. That's lack of respect. I let him have it. So he said something, and then I went the next step and said something back to him. So he went and complained, and he'd complained about some other things. And so Don Brown called me up, said, hey, man, what happened? He said, listen, man, one thing I don't like, and I appreciate, you don't ever come up and complain. You come up, talk sports with me and stuff, but you never complain. So I get tired of those people in news complaining, especially when I hire people and they bitch about other people that they're working with. And I was like, he was a jock. He was into sports and athletic and sports. So anyway, yeah, I always think of that too, man. That's an old school thing. You got an idea, you want to come in my office and you can make something better, I'm all like, hey, what do you think about doing this? But if you're coming in to bitch about something, you got the wrong
place. You talk
about
a winning culture. I mean, little rules like that. Anyways, happy birthday to my son, Casey, out there.
Happy birthday to, how old's Casey today?
Casey now is 30.
Oh, big 3-0.
Yeah, he's old.
That means Dad's got to take you out tonight. All right. Hey, that's going to do it for our show. Have a great day, everybody.